Right now, though, a lot of people are mourning, aren't they? This week, such a shocking week to hear about these little children that have died, and even some adults. But and the world mourns, and we mourn. We mourn for them. We do mourn, and we're grieved. Death for us, though, isn't the same as certainly as it is for the lost. Death is still part of the fall. But it's been changed. It's been changed for us, isn't it? Matter of fact, when we think of how the Bible describes the Christian death, Paul says in Philippians 1:23, it is far better to depart and be with Christ. That's what he says. It's far better. For the Christian, it is. He says, I think it's there as well, he says it's gain, right? It's actually gain. Psalm 116, 15 says that the death of God's loved ones are precious in His sight. Luke 16:22 describes the death of His people as being carried into Abraham's bosom. It was imagery of great affection and comfort and security. Death in the Scripture is going to heaven. It's going to paradise. Paradise is Eden in the Old Testament. And it's going to be Eden without any potential for the fall. You know, in that wonderful paradise imagery, the heavenly imagery in Revelation 21 and 22, there's not a tree of life and tree of death. There's two trees of life. Just life, life everywhere. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many rooms, many places. The old King James, many mansions, doesn't quite capture it, but you know, mansions are pretty cool, right? This is going to be better. Jesus said in that was in John 14, He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. Right? And He said, if it wasn't so, I would have told you. Death for the Christian is not in the Bible described as death. Death is falling asleep. It's asleep. What the world is a bad thing, the worst thing, for the Christian has been changed. It's been changed. It's our transition into the most perfect state, the most glorious state. That's because, as the Catechism teaches here, in our Lord's Day 22, that when we die, our soul immediately goes to be with the Lord. And our bodies will also one day rise and be reunited to the body. Our soul will one day rise and be reunited to the body. And we will enjoy the blessedness of everlasting life. And even now we can begin to enjoy and embrace that hope. We can begin to experience it in our inner man as he's being renewed day by day, even as the outer man is what? Decaying, breaking down, and it's tough getting old. And it happens quick, my dear youth. It happens so quick. When I saw your mother, we were both young, and well, she was really young, but I was still pretty young too. And it's just like the blink of an eye, and all the kids are grown up and big, beautiful young people now. So it happens quickly. It's a reminder by our Heavenly Father that this is not our final home. Well, what we see here, just is a couple things I want to say. The number one, the soul immediately is with Christ upon death. I'm going to remind you that the soul is immediately with Christ upon death. And secondly, the body will be raised and united with our soul. We are promised that the soul is immediately with Christ upon death. You believe in Jesus Christ, death is not the end. You do not go to a place of judgment. You will not enter into soul sleep. You will, though the scriptures calls it a sleep, it's distinguishing it from death. Our soul, with all its consciousness, goes to be with the Lord, immediately with the Lord. Philippians 1:21, for to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, this will mean fruitful fruit of my labor. Yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell, for I'm hard pressed between the two, having desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Well, what he expresses there, isn't it, that he is going to be with the Lord. And 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, we shall always be with the Lord. And so the context of what about bereaved loved ones? Remember that? What happens to our Christian brethren when they die? They, don't worry, they go right into the presence of the Lord. Luke 23:43, you remember that with the man on the cross, one of those men repented up there on the cross, and he said those wonderful words, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus said, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. What incredible words. Today you will be with me. So the soul, as the catechism says here, is immediately in the presence of the Lord upon death. Now, this is how we're trying to explain, this is how we're trying to deal with the biblical terminology when we say this. There's still great mystery here, but I think this is a good explanation. I think this is a proper explanation. And it may be that this is what Revelation is referring to. Revelation 6:9 says, when he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. He sees souls, and it may be a reference to that they've died, that the resurrection of the body has not taken place yet, and so he sees souls. But however we understand it, we are immediately with Christ upon death. And secondly, the body will be raised and united with our soul. When Jesus Christ returns at his second coming, he will raise the dead, all the dead, but dead Christians, their bodies will be raised to everlasting life. They will be reunited to their souls. 1 Corinthians 15:20, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. 1 Corinthians 15:42, and then that whole chapter really is just wonderful in this, but it's so long. 1 Corinthians 15:42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. So there's going to be a connection with the resurrection body, but it's going to be so far superior in this context. He talks about a seed to the full-grown tree. What goes in the ground is the seed. What comes out is a full-grown tree. The resurrection body, the glorified body, is going to be so great. He describes it, the difference between the sun and the moon. And the sun has the moon has a great glory, right? It has a great brightness. If you ever see a real full, bright moon, sometimes you don't want to stare at it too long. But you can't even stare at the sun, can you? You can't even hardly look at the sun and its glory, because its glory is so great. The resurrection body is like the sun to the old body, the moon. So it's sown in weakness, it's raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it's raised a spiritual body. In 1 Corinthians 15:54, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Philippians 3:20 and 21 also talk about that. Talk about that we're going to be transformed into the image of Christ. And you say, what does that mean? Well, it certainly means we're going to be sinless. And you're not going to be part of the Trinity. Okay, let's dispel that right here. But you will be as much like Christ as you can be like Christ. You're going to be glorified. It's an amazing passage. And mainly, you can be guaranteed there will no longer be any sin. It's so hard to imagine that. But how wonderful that will be. 1 John 3:2, that's the passage where he says, you know, what a blessing it is. We know that we're the children of God. We are now the children of God. And he says, and yet we don't know what it's going to be like, but we know that when we see him, we'll be as he is. So, well, so the body will be raised and united with our soul. These are such wonderful truths. We are promised after death that we are immediately with the Lord. There's never a time that we aren't going to be with the Lord. And the way we describe it and the way the theologians have described it is that our soul is with him. Then we are promised that we will rise again after he comes and our body and soul will be reunited. We'll enter the bliss of glory and eternal life. Eternal life. Now we can begin to embrace that eternal life now by believing Christ. And in some sense, of course, we enter that eternal life, but it's always in hope. It's always in hope. It's always in the anticipation of his coming. There is the passage in John 17 where he says, "This is eternal life. It is to know God, it is to know him and to know his Son." So we begin to experience that through Jesus Christ and the knowledge of God and even church. Church is a little heaven on earth when we're following the Lord the way we should be. Let's, I missed this passage in 2 Corinthians, didn't I? Turn to 2 Corinthians 4:7 and just see what I was thinking of when I gave you that. We'll just read it backwards. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, 2 Corinthians 4:7, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what was written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for you, for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, that's the way the scripture describes the terrible things that come against the Christian. Compared to eternity, it's light affliction. Compared to the blessings of heaven, it is light. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan. See, right now, in this house we groan. And I know you kids, you have your whole life to look forward to, but again, I say, it will go quickly. and you'll have trouble in this life, and you must turn to the Lord, and you must remember these things. In this house we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation, which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, well pleased rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Amen. Well, I kind of liked reading that after we talked about that. What a hope we have. The resurrection of the flesh, glorification, eternal life. You know, Job, with all that he went through, what did he say? I know that in my flesh I will see the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the gift of eternal life that is in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the hope of the resurrection of the body. Thank you for the hope of full glorification. Somehow we will be like Christ. Somehow there will be no more sin. No more tears. No more hurts. No more suffering. Only bliss. Only blessings. Only pleasure. An exceeding weight of glory that you have for us. All because of your great work and your great love for us. We praise you for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.